Let me read our passage for us today, Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. We're in ministry, let us use in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, and he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you for the opportunity we have to come into this place. Lord, a place that has been consecrated to you. Lord, to gather with other believers who desire to love you and to love others. And Lord, I just thank you for the blessing, the privilege, the freedom that we have together in the holy name of Jesus. Lord, it is in Jesus that we find peace. It is in Jesus that we find purpose. It's in his presence that peace resides. And so, Lord, we ask that as we open up your word, that you would teach us, that we would have ears to hear, and that we would respond to your message to your people. It's in the powerful and the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. My name is John, and I am blessed to serve as the pastor here at Hallmark Church. And as has already been mentioned, if you're new, we would love to get to know you. My wife, Joy, and I, we will be in the foyer right after the service. You can look for us right at the wall with all the blue gift bags. And so if you stop by and say hi, we would love to just give you a gift and thank you for being here today. God is good and all the time. And so just a few things. We at Hallmark believe that everyone in the room today, there is some kind of next step God has for you. That God has something for you to do, an action step to take. As was already mentioned, maybe you're considering church membership. What would it look like to be a member of Hallmark? How does that even happen? And so June the 1st, we'll have our Discover Hallmark class. It'll be right after the service. We'll have about an hour and a half class. We'll have lunch for you. Child care is provided, but we just need you to register and let us know that you're going to be here. Also on June 1st is baptism class. So maybe your next step is to get baptized and to publicly proclaim that you're a follower of Jesus. So many of you maybe have made a decision right there at your seat, or maybe many years ago you've made a decision, but it's time to take the next step of faith and proclaim Jesus is Lord through baptism. So again, register online, and that class will be right after the service as well on June the 1st. And then also on June the 1st, some of you may be really excited. We're going to push our service time back 30 minutes. Here's the truth, though. If some of you would just keep your normal schedule, you'll be on time June the 1st. You can self-identify. I'm not going to call you out. But June the 1st, we're pushing the times back. And so, again, some of you can enjoy 30 minutes of extra rest, and some of you can keep the same schedule, and we'll all be here at 10 o'clock. And hey, I want to give you a quick update. So some of you, you may be new, but this year our theme has been the word beyond. And we've been looking at 2 Corinthians 8, 3, and 5. In fact, if you grabbed one of the sermon notes, that verse is always at the bottom of the sermon notes. It says, I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. It says in verse 4, imploring us with much urgency that we receive the gift. They were begging for an offering to take place. Verse 5 says, "And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." And so we've been challenging you to go beyond in your faith and in your fellowship, right? To go or to serve or to give, or maybe it's all three of those things. And so, hey, I just want to share with you that in the month of April, so we were kind of focusing on this the first couple months and really jumped into it March and April, but in the month of April, that Hallmark Church, you guys, there was an increase of people giving by 20%. That's amazing. Like, yeah, praise the Lord, give the Lord a hand. And what that tells me is that some of you, you took that next step, that you were maybe going to start giving, and maybe that was you started tithing, or you just started giving to Beyond and helping us pay off our debt. And this year, you've already given $330,000 to pay off our debt. Praise the Lord for that. So yeah, you can celebrate that. And so we're gonna continue our series, Missing Peace. And I'm bringing this back up mainly just because I paid for it and I feel like I ought to get my money out of it. But maybe at the dessert auction, we could have a hula hoop contest for, I don't know, I'm not going to say that. All right, so do we know what the hula hoop's for? It's for me to show off my mad skills. No, it's not. Look at your quote. It's the first one on the right, top right. We're talking about missing peace. And oftentimes, at least in my own way of thinking, I often think, well, if I just had a little more money, or if I had a better truck, or maybe if I had different kids, or, you know, if just this one thing would change in my life, I'm just missing this one thing, and everything in my life would be well. And this quote has kind of been hanging over us the whole series. One of the best ways to improve is to draw a circle around yourself and change everything inside of it, right? Peace is mostly dependent on how I react to things, right? It's not about the other person. It's not about the circumstances of my life. It's about that I'm going to rest and trust in the goodness of God. So we say this every week during this series, that the only true way we can have peace, the only way to have true peace is through the Prince of Peace. That outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, peace is not possible. You may have momentary opportunities or circumstances that everything seems right and there may be some happiness, but true inward peace is not possible apart from Jesus. And so if you have never placed your faith in Jesus, I want to say that you're not going to actually have peace until you reconcile that, until you make a decision. For by grace, you're saved through faith. If you place your faith in Jesus Christ for your eternity in heaven, for your forgiveness of sins, for peace, and we can't have the peace of God unless we are at peace with God. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus, can I encourage you today to do that? And if you don't exactly know what that means, then I would love to have a conversation with you right after the church. As I already mentioned, I'll be right there in the foyer at the Bluebacks. Come ask me. Because all of these practical things that we see in Scripture don't really mean anything apart from Jesus. Jesus is where we get our peace. But today we're going to talk about a peace in purpose. And I want you to think for a moment, what comes to your mind? What's the image that comes to your mind when I ask you to picture or to think about God's amazing creation? Think for a moment, what comes into your mind? Is it, the sun setting over the ocean? Is it, being in the mountains and a green forest and the sun rays are just coming through the trees? What image comes into your mind when you think about the goodness of God's creation? Do you get the picture of skiing down a mountain? How many of you have ever went snow skiing before? There's something just peaceful about the whoo, whoo, and hopefully not a You're right. Just the back and forth. You see the snow. I'm just kind of like in my head right now skiing. Anybody want to go skiing with me someday? Let's go. I don't know what you picture mine, but when I have these pictures in my office that I painted a few years ago. I picked up a hobby of painting. No, this picture though, that I took with my phone. I took this one. This was at the end of our 17-day, 250-mile hike. Luckily, we had already had a shower, so we're good. But as you're driving out of Yosemite Valley, you stop at this place. It's called Tunnel View, and you get a look back and see. This is known as El Capitan, and way off in the distance, which you may not be able to see from where you're sitting, is called Half Dome. And Half Dome, I'll tell you a story about that one day, but not today. But when I think about this picture, I just think, wow, God is big, isn't he? I'm known as what some would call a creationist. I'm not talking about that I believe God created the earth. I do believe that. But creationist being, I feel most connected with God when I'm out in nature with God. And I'm looking at his creation. I'm seeing this picture I took with my phone. This was about halfway through, I think, our hike, 17-day hike in Northern California. This is, from my memory, Lake Mary. How many of you would like to go just sit at that lake this afternoon and hang out? Wouldn't that be awesome? I have to tell you, you got to walk about 60 miles to get to it, so there may be an entry point. I don't know. And I remember just sitting there taking that picture and just thinking, God is big. It seems hard for me to look at God's creation and not think that God's good. It's hard for me to look at these and think something didn't create this. And this picture, although you may not be able to see it, I didn't take this picture, but this was on our second day on Mount Kilimanjaro, hiking Mount Kilimanjaro. This is Mount Kilimanjaro in the background. And someone else took the photo, but it's crazy that it's called a long exposure photo. It takes like 30 minutes to take this photo. And you can see, I don't know if this is a misprint or a shooting star right here. It's pretty amazing. But I remember that night, this was night two, camping out on Kilimanjaro. And you look at the stars at night. Right? We're pretty proud. The stars at night are big and bright. I was going to see who's going to clap there, right? But can I be honest with you? They don't compare to being at 11,000 feet in Africa and just looking up and saying, wow, God is big. God is powerful. What comes to your mind when you think of the creation of God? His power, his glory, his majesty, his beauty. But greatest creation is of God? Ephesians chapter number 2. Let me read it for us. I think it might be on the screen. Ephesians chapter 2 simply says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know what the greatest, this word workmanship could also understanding of masterpiece. When you look at these photos, which are just photos, and the truth is you can't really grasp what it looked like in person from a photo. But as beautiful as these pictures are, and you probably have your own pictures, and you have your own memories, and you have your own image that came in your mind, but that the greatest masterpiece of the Lord is you. That God created you. You are His masterpiece, created on purpose for a purpose. God created you. I think about our bodies, and I won't go too deep into this, but I read this week, you know, that your nose can distinctly differentiate between 10,000 aromas, and somehow the one stuck in my head is, in my nose is like eighth grade kids on a bus after a football game. Excuse me. Do you know your tongue, 6,000 taste buds? And just a few months ago, I was in Thailand eating cow tongue, and I want to wipe my tongue off, right? Your brain, 10 billion nerve cells. Our bodies have 60 trillion cells. You are unique. God formed you in your mother's womb. God created you on purpose for a purpose. And I think that sometimes the reason we're missing peace is because we haven't been living on purpose. We haven't been living out our purpose. What has God created you for? And see, God created you on purpose for a purpose, and God also created you to fulfill your purpose in community. When we think about community, or we think about church, you know, God has commissioned all followers of Jesus. So like we would say the big C church, all followers of Jesus. What is the mission of the church? It's to make disciples. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them, right? That's the mission of the church. But we've kind of clarified that as a vision of Hallmark, is that we want to lead people to find and follow Jesus, finding, thinking about evangelism, follow, talking about discipleship, that we want to do that in the context of community. Here at Hallmark, one of the ways that we want to think through that is in our spiritual pathway, that we have a plan for you as maybe a new member, maybe you're just a new guest and you're trying to figure out, like, here's what we want for you. We want you to move from the crowd to be a part of a community that you can then get connected to a core. And yesterday I was in a biblical counseling seminar right up here. One of our members, Dr. O, led that biblical counseling seminar, and I stepped out for a minute because I was wanting to sneak in, and there was a new member who was auditioning to sing on the praise team. And it just made me think for a moment that as I looked at her, watched her, she didn't know I was standing up there watching and listening, but that she's a pretty new member that's moved from being part of the crowd. Now on Wednesday night, she's in a regeneration group, so she's a part of the community, connecting with other believers, and now she's signed up to serve, to become a part of the core. What a picture of what everyone should be in process to do. Because God has created you on purpose for a purpose, and I think that best fulfilled is doing that purpose together in the context of community. So Romans chapter 12, I already read it for us this morning, but I just want to point out four things. And I actually, did you notice last week I stayed inside this circle pretty much the whole service? I didn't like it, so I'm moving this, all right? I'm trying to get my 10,000 steps just right up here. So finding peace through living out your purpose, that God has a purpose for you. So let's point out these four things. If you're taking notes on your outline here, the first blank is number one, Romans 12, 1 through 2, surrender to serve. Surrender to serve. Let me read it for you. This word here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you, or I beg you, or I implore you, therefore. And what he's focused in on here is if you read the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul is just going through some deep, deep theology, especially the first 8, 9 chapters. Just all this theology and what he's teaching us as followers of Jesus. You think of the scripture of, for by grace you're saved. It's through faith. It's a gift of God. This idea of justification, this idea of reconciliation. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And so all of this first part of Romans is telling us that you can be a follower of Jesus, and the way you can be a follower of Jesus is it's a gift of God. You can be justified. You can be declared not guilty. You can therefore have no condemnation because you are in Christ. And so what he's saying here is, in light of all that I've taught you, I'm begging, I'm imploring you. He says, therefore, brethren, that's followers of Jesus. And then he says, by the mercies of God. In other words, in light of everything I've said, in the fact that God has been so good to you. Every Sunday morning I get up here and I say, God is good? And all the time? It's not just a statement. It is a theology that we believe that God is sovereign and that God is good. And based on the goodness of God, Paul is saying, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or it's your act of worship, or some translations would say, it's the least that you could do. To think that the creator of the universe, the creator of my body, has created me on purpose for a purpose, and he sent his son to die in my place so that I could have grace and mercy and no condemnation and be declared righteous. And Paul is just saying, based on everything I've been teaching you, lay your life down, surrender your life on the altar. But here's the problem with a living sacrifice. I mean, normally when you think of a sacrifice in the temple, it was going to be an animal that was already dead, sacrificed on the altar. But a living sacrifice placed on the altar, what do we have a tendency to do as a living sacrifice placing our life on the altar? I don't know about you, but me, I have a tendency to get up and remove myself from the altar. So it's this daily surrender that, God, my life, it's not just my body, it's everything about me. A few weeks ago when Dr. O preached, love God, love others, it's loving God, everything, my heart, my soul, my mind, with everything about me, I say, God, today is your day. Today I surrender to you. Today I'm living out your purpose for my life. And notice what he says in verse number 2, the last couple of words. This is the will of God. You want to know what God's will is for you? Surrender to serve. God, I surrender my life to you. And we have no greater example than Jesus in the garden when he said, God, if there is any other way, just moments before they would arrest him, put him on trial, beat him, and crucify him as he carried his own cross. What did he say? God, if there is any other way, nevertheless, it's not about me. I surrender. What is your will? Here's the question you need to ask yourself. Have you surrendered? Are you surrendered? And then what you think, this is total surrender. Is there something in your life that you've taken back off the altar? Is there someone in your life that you've taken back off the altar? Or is your life today completely surrendered? God, whatever you want for my life, not my will, but yours. I think one of the reasons, if you were here last week during the 2 Connect group hours, we had a young missionary family who live in Niger, 3 beautiful little kids, And I think one of the reasons, if you know them, our heart resonates so much with them, is because this is two medical doctors who could be living a different life if they chose to stay in America. And yet they've surrendered all. God, whatever you want. Number two, walk in humility. Verse number three. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, like honestly have an evaluation of yourself as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We read these verses a couple weeks ago. Again, this theme continues to come up when we talk about peace in our life, because the reality is it's who's inside the circle. That's who we need to work on. And one of the biggest issues that most of us struggle with in some form or fashion is our pride. Right? Pride comes before what? A fall. And a haughty spirit before destruction. Proverbs 16, 18. James chapter 4, verse number 6. We read this a few weeks ago that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to who? The humble. He says, don't think too highly of yourself. But he also is an understanding of don't think too lowly of yourself. Both are forms of pride. Peter, in the Last Supper there, says, oh, Jesus. Now, those guys over there, the other 11 disciples, they might forsake you, but me, I'm willing to even die for you. You think there was a little pride in Peter? What about Gideon? God asked him to do something, and what did Gideon say? Who, me? I'm the least of the least. And God says, no, Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. You see, because when we take the focus off of ourselves and our abilities and what we can or cannot do, when we think too highly or we think too lowly, our eyes are on the wrong person. Our eyes must be focused on God. I've surrendered to God. I'm going to walk in humility. Number three, embrace diversity. Embrace our diversity. Look what he says in verse number 4-6. For as many as we have many members in one body. Okay, now understand this. When he's talking about the body, he's talking about the body of Christ. So the body of Christ would represent all followers of Jesus all over the world. But today, and we think of the context of Hallmark Church, this would then be a local body of Christ. And many of you have made a decision that you're going to join this local body of Christ. So let's think about it in terms of today at Hallmark Church. We have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. I don't know if you're aware of this. I want you to look to the person next to you and say, you're different. Did that sound harsh? Well, turn back to that person and say, well, you're different too. Right? For some reason, we have a negative thought of different. Different's not wrong, is it? Different's not wrong, it's just what? You guys are so smart. It's different. Aren't you glad we're not all the same? Aren't you glad you're not like me? I'm glad I'm not like you. We're different. But we're all part of the same team, the same body. Brought together, Corinthians says, by God. If you have joined the membership of Hallmark Church through prayer, God has placed you here. And God hasn't placed you to just sit and do nothing. They always used to say, you sit and sour, right? If you don't use it, you lose it, whatever the word might be. But we're different, and that's good. It's good that we're different. I want you to think it in terms of this. Let's think of, how many of you like to put puzzles together? Okay, raise your hand up. I'm just scouring the audience because I was thinking it was a chronologically superior group that would be putting puzzles together. All right, but that's not necessarily true. I was thinking, I'm not old enough yet to put puzzles together, but apparently that doesn't, I'm just thinking of it wrong. Hey, it's not wrong, it's just. Would the puzzle work if every piece were the same shape? Right? Every piece has a place. And if every piece goes in its place, it paints a perfect picture. So don't think too highly or too lowly of your piece, your place, but understand that God has a place for your piece and the purpose. I don't know of another P word that I could think of. So how about you? Here's another thing to think about this. So when we think about the idea that I've come into this local body of Christ, have I come to the local body of Christ with the attitude of how the church can serve me? Like how the body can serve the hand? Or should we think about it how the hand can serve the body? Right? In other words, do you come into church on a Sunday morning with the mentality of, well, how's the church going to serve me today? Hope the music's good. I hope they pick the song I like. I hope Pastor John will stop on time. I hope he'll stay inside the circle. I don't know what you're thinking. Or do you come to church with the attitude of, I wonder who I could minister to today? I wonder how I could serve the body of Christ better today, even if it's not my week to serve. Because there's hundreds of you that serve once a week, twice a week, and thank you for how you serve. But maybe just a mentality shift. Let's think of the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 20, verse 27 and 28. What did Jesus say? And whoever desires to be the first among you, let him be your servant, slave? That doesn't seem right, does it? What's the next verse say, though? Verse 28. Just as the Son of Man, he's talking about himself, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We're never more like Jesus than when we humble ourselves and serve the body of Christ. In the context of these two verses, Jesus is saying, I came to serve, not to be served. The context of that was when James and John, their mom, God bless their mom, when you set up your kingdom, Jesus, don't forget my boys. They're pretty special. I'm sure that's what my mom said about her two boys as well. She might have been using the word special in a different word. I don't know. They special, all right. Embrace our diversity. Walk in humility. Surrender to serve. Number 4, verse 6. And having, number 4 is work in unity. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. What does it say? All right, everybody look on the screen here. Verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. What does it say? Let us use them. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it, right? Then he goes on to say, let me read this. If prophecy, let us prophesy. In other words, speaking the truth. If God's given you the gift to understand the word of God and speak the truth, then do it. Speak the truth in love according to the proportion of your faith. Verse 7, or ministry. This word here, ministry, could be translated serve. It's actually where we get the English word deacon from. That a deacon is to serve. You know what I'm thankful for? That every second Tuesday night of the month when we get together with our deacons and trustees, you know, one of the things that our deacons and trustees do is to check on our the widows and widowers that can't come to church. They're homebound or they're in a facility. And once a month, they get a phone call or a visit. One of the guys, he drives over and takes this lady a crumble cookie every second Tuesday or Monday, whenever he goes. And this lady, she has dementia. She has no idea who's coming to visit her. The conversation is, yeah, I'm supposed to be going home tomorrow, or whatever random conversation it might be. But one of our deacons is willing to humble himself and serve and drive over and have a conversation. One of our deacons has been mowing a lady's lawn for about 4 or 5 years, I think. In fact, he rotated off the board, still continued mowing, and rotated back on the board and got her back as his, you know, widow to check on, and still mows her lawn. Several of our deacons who are now retired, they come every Thursday morning at 7 o'clock and mow the lawn. That's really what the meaning of a deacon is someone who serves. So Paul is saying, if God has given you the gift of serving, and some of you definitely have the gift of serving. Now, I would say, if your gift is not natural to serve, that doesn't exclude you, okay? Find something to do. Serving. Let us in ministering he who teaches and teaching. I'm so thankful that Hallmark has many great teachers who every Sunday morning, either in early connect groups or late connect groups, they're teaching the word of God. Those who exhort in exhortation. Right, that's the gift of encouragement, or this is kind of like the coach. You can do it. I see in you something. God has created you on purpose for a purpose. The exhortation. He who gives. Some of you have the gift of giving. One of the core values of Hallmark is radical generosity, and some of you in here have proven that over and over and over again. Now, just because I may not have the gift of giving doesn't mean I shouldn't what? Right? I still have a responsibility, but some people, God has blessed financially, and he's just given them a heart to give, and sometimes that's giving of their time, sometimes it's giving of their energy, sometimes it's giving of their resources. And then it says, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Work in unity. A simple question, are you serving? One of our challenges this year to go beyond is that we go beyond in our giving, our going, and our serving. Can we turn to Ephesians one more time? Go to Ephesians really quick. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says in verse 11, Ephesians 4:11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Again, he said, either one of these in Ephesians and or Romans. This is not an exhaustive list of the spiritual gifts. But what is he, in verse number 12, what does he give us these gifts? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man to be measured the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about every wind of doctrine. You see, we need the teachers. We need the preachers. We need those who have the gift of apostleship. We need those who will exhort and encourage and teach us the way. Verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things in Christ, who is the head. Verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working by which every part does its share. You see the picture there? It's the picture of the body working together, that every part is important. And if we all work together, God can get the glory and more people can find and follow Jesus. It says, by which every part does its share, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. If every member of Hallmark served, gave, engaged like you do, what would Hallmark look like? If every member was as engaged as you are, or not engaged as you are, what would Hallmark look like? Let's go back to where we started. Ephesians 2:10. For I, I'm his masterpiece. The creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the all-powerful Lord, created you on purpose for a purpose. Maybe the reason you're missing peace is because you're not walking in the purpose God has for you. Would you be willing to surrender, to humble yourself, to work, to embrace the call of God on your life? Can I just ask you to close your eyes for a moment? Many would say, John, you know, God has kind of spoken to me today about this. I'm not going to go into details what that might be. Just God is speaking to you. Would you just put your hand up for a moment? Just put your hand up for a moment. God has spoken to me today. Just put it up. All right? A lot of us. Okay, you can put your hand down. I'm just going to challenge you in a moment when we stand in this last song of worship that you'd come forward and you just talk, have a conversation with God. Have a conversation with God. God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your grace in our life, your mercy. They're new every morning. Because God, you are a faithful God. Lord, I pray that whatever the next step that we may have today, what you've spoken to us individually about, that we would be willing to take that step. Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to look up for a moment. And I got one last action step for you today. Okay, one last action step before we get started. Maybe you don't know what your spiritual gift is. How many of you have taken a spiritual gift test before? Or assessment, all right? How many of you have never taken one before? Okay, if you've never taken one before, you ought to get your phone out right now. Get your phone out, scan the QR code, and take it this week sometime. I thought it was interesting. I haven't taken a spiritual gift test in probably, I don't know, 15 years. I used to take them all the time. And always my spiritual gifts were always in the category of helps and serving. And so I took another one this week just because I was, you know, practicing what I preach. I'm taking it with you. And it's interesting how my giftings have shifted a little bit. I think more because of my age and my position, and maybe I've matured a little bit. But I would just encourage you, even if you've taken one, maybe it's been 15 years ago, it'd be interesting for you to see how has God wired me? This isn't just like take the test and now I know. You got to practice it, right? So let me just encourage you, take the assessment and then have a conversation with your Connect group leader about it. Hey, what do you think? You think this is good? Maybe a small group. Have a conversation. Hey, would you stand with me? Because the truth is, if we're gonna surrender our life and lay ourselves on the altar, hey, here's what we have to acknowledge. It can't be in our own strength. We need God, don't we? Can you say amen to that? Lord, I need you. Let's worship together.